You're lucky, Sparks, you know, because you have the choice to like it quickly. Some of us can't help liking it quickly, you know.
Hello, welcome to episode 10 of Lug Radio. That's Luke Radio, a plus one past there.
Is it really, really 10?
It is really 10 because we did special episode 1.
10,
which is episode 9.
Which has been rebadged episode 9 because of the quality coding on our website. It's Sparks.
So, I'm Matthew Revelt.
I'm Ack.
I'm John O'Bacon.
I'm John O'Bacon.
Sparks.
So, guys, what we're going to talk about?
No, that is so simple. That's elegant, that bit of code.
It's beautiful, yeah.
It just doesn't work properly.
Yeah, but it
fucking works properly for what we're giving it to.
To be fair to Sparks, I don't think he originally envisaged special episodes showing up every so often.
Yeah, I didn't fucking envisage it. 10 episodes!
Having to step away from the integers. Is this where it only stores it in, like, one digit, like the year 2000 problem? Yeah. No, we're going to try and post this and it'll say it's episode naught.
It's
excellent.
Arrays of arrays with different file names and all the different mirrors and everything. It's just a simple fucking array.
Right. So, what are we going to talk about this show, lads?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I've noticed these inkjet cartridges are a bit expensive lately. So
I hate them damn inkjet cartridges.
Grr. Yep, the expense of it all.
It's the way they come up to you and bite your bum.
Yeah, man. So we'll have a little bit of chat about us biting cartridges.
I must carry on buying HP ones then, because mine have never done that, not ever.
I stick to Epson Photo ones because they don't seem to bite the arse at all.
It's the dodgy ones that you buy at computer fairs.
That would explain it.
What else are we going to talk about? Sparks? Got anything?
We're talking about me again.
Yeah, no, we're talking about Sparks and his book.
I was thinking about talking about a book.
A book.
A book.
Would that be Project Arcade by John Sinclair?
It would.
Fancy that.
Fancy you know the title and author of the book. Because you know I'm fucking awful at things like that.
I wonder what you're going to say about it, Sparks. I wonder what your review will be.
Yeah. Remarkable.
You got anything to say, Ackle?
Yep. First of all, I've got to say, don't do that again. No, I'm going to talk about what you do with £100,000.
Fucking got a few ideas. Joe?
I don't know, I'll just chip in. Whatever, really.
Okay.
I might mention the odd thing about Project Utopia a bit later.
If you want to press start and stop and things on the computer, we'll be happy.
Do you actually know what Utopia means?
Utopia?
Yeah.
Happiness?
I think it means unachievable, no place sort of thing.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was some kind of happiness.
No, well, it was a joke by, was it Thomas More who did it?
I don't think it was Thomas More. It was somebody who wrote a book called Thomas Carlyle or something.
Pretty
like
sure
that. Wrote a book
Saint
called
Thomas
Utopia,
More
but it meant no place.
All right.
Hmm? I'm pretty sure some Thomas More had bugger all to do with Cody.
It's a bit morbid, isn't it? Oh, we're going to call it Project We Can't Do This. And then they've done it.
Well, that's
they've
just proven Latin wrong.
They have proven Latin wrong as well as
Greek,
as well as making hardware.
Well.
Who cares? I mean, it could be Canadian for all we care.
Canadian. Episode 10.
It's Canadian
let's
language.
Rock.
Let's rock.
I don't know boot that.
That doesn't happen, you know. It's all a big fallacy. Ask the guy at Disney World.
Is Canadian a language? No. Not.
It's just like a big bit of America, isn't it?
I mean, Jujula baseball.
You do it. You do it. French Canadian.
I know it's not America, but
we've just lost. I'm about to say we lost tons of listeners, but I don't know how many listeners we've got apart from.
Got some sitting
we've
in the snow up there,
satchbonking.
Satchy cam, whatever.
Scratchy cam.
For the person who is there,
Judland.
We've got to say that it's been beautiful over here, hasn't it? 80 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm a bit too hot, really.
But 80 degrees in June, over there, they get minus 40.
And that's summer. And
grateful for it.
And you get attacked by a bear.
Yeah, they get raped by a fucking bear.
In fact, that happens at the border when you get off the plane.
You get raped by a bear.
don't go to Canada on holiday.
Can I ever tell you the story about my friend who was kicked into No Man's Land over, obviously No Man's Land is a fucking waterfall. My friend who was kicked into No Man's Land over Niagara Falls.
No.
What? No.
What happened?
He was
kicked into No Man's Land.
He
was asked to leave the United States for outstaying his welcome. He went to Canada. They kicked him out over there. They refused to accept him. He had him for one night, kicked him back, and got the American authorities to fly him home.
Loser.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame.
That's quite good. You got free flight. Well, I didn't think you had to pay British Continental or whatever back later. But...
It's like that Carlsberg advert.
Yeah.
It certainly looked for a while like he was going to have nowhere to go. Just like this intro. Nowhere to go and go in there fast. So we'll wrap up the intro and we'll
cut
get
half
on with the
of
it show.
Off.
And we'll cut the end of it. You are listening to
the Gladio. Right, okay, let's get started. Should we begin with Desert Island Discs?
Yeah, might as well.
Right. We had an email from Ben Thorpe, who is Mr. Ben.
On our forums.
On the forums.
Forums.lugradio.org.
Is it
forum.lugradio.org?
Forums.
Just in my history.
What, history lessons or...?
I don't know.
Sorry, that was shit. That was below the normal bad standard.
So come on, Ben Thorpe, what do you want to take on your desert island disc?
Desert island. All right. Yeah. Okay, number one, XFCE.
You mean
XFCE?
Okay.
Can we possibly get through Lug Radio without a Scottish impression?
Without stupid accents.
Because the kid's putting the fucking bagpipes.
I don't want to have to bring Nero's the bagpipes.
Nero's really, really upset.
Sorry, Nero.
Right, XFCE, I've never heard of it. What is it?
It's desktop environment.
Yeah, he says, since the release of version 4, this has got to be the desktop environment of choice for people who want the power of a desktop environment, but without the resource usage of KDE or GNOME. And it looks nice, too.
Have any of you guys used it?
Yeah, and it's shit.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think what unfortunately I think it gives you is it gives you the idea of a desktop environment without the integration of something like KDE or GNOME, which to my mind defeats the point of having a desktop environment.
So yeah. give me an example of where it doesn't integrate.
If you look at GNOME, for example, there's a central configuration database called gconf.
Yeah.
So every GNOME application... Registry. But GNOME applications, for example, if they want to display an HTML page, all they have to do is start the GNOME web browser.
Yeah.
Because they all inherit that kind of thing. They all get the same button layout if they want to.
Yeah.
Things like that. Because they're drawing off a standard base, a certain kernel, if you like, the GNOME kernel.
Right.
XFCE doesn't have that as much. It's a step above just using a window manager and unconnected programs, mm-hmm. but it's a step below using GNOME. And I don't see the point in having this middle ground. Either you want everything integrated, and then you've got to live with the resource-hungry nature of KDE and GNOME, mm-hmm. or you want everything unintegrated, and then you get loads of resources, but you have to configure each application to tell you what your web browser is. I don't see how you could have... Right. I think the XFCE guys think... We can find a middle ground here where we get all the benefits of KDE and GNOME and none of the resource hungriness, but I don't believe it's possible.
And
XFCE doesn't, to me, seem to be a good example of this.
And there's plenty of others out there that are doing a similar sort of job. I mean, there's Black Box and there's IceWM and there's all the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're window managers. I mean, to my mind, XFCE is like the Rocks desktop. In the theoretically, it's a good idea, but in practice, the applications just aren't there.
So what does XFCE stand for, guys?
It stands for Xanadu Forgave Krusty Emacs.
That's probably the best named FOSS project ever.
It is, yeah. That's,
I wish it was doing that.
Can we conclude that you do not know what
that's
it is?
That's correct, yeah.
I've just read his second one.
Sparks, what do you think about it?
I am absolutely astounded.
It looks too much like Windows for my liking.
Oh, does it? I might like it.
Really? You thought so?
I didn't give it much of a try, to be fair, though, because I didn't like it quickly. And if I don't like it quickly, there's no point in me learning it. If you learn, you know, a new desktop environment that gives you some more productivity, like if you learn like a Black Box or one of the other boxes and you never used that kind before, it's worth giving it the time, like, and switching to it occasionally. But it seemed to give me absolutely nothing extra to what I've got already.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother.
There's little point in me wasting loads of time learning about it when I'll end up exactly where I am now and I'll have wasted 3 weeks when I could have been, you know.
You're lucky, Sparks, you know, because you have the choice to like it quickly. Some of us can't help liking it quickly, you know. Some of us need to apply creams.
Moving
swiftly on. Number two. Right, that was a joke, by the way. I don't have any kind of issues like that.
ABC, console-based air traffic control simulator. Now, the problem I think with this one...
You better read the second bit, Matt.
Sounds lame, but it's really addictive. Now, the problem with this one to me is that, you know, you'll get up on a Tuesday morning, you think, I'd love to play some ATC, but you find it just doesn't work for a few hours.
So it says, oh, well, you know, there's a bit of a problem down in Swanwick. Like that. And, like, your stuff, basically.
Console-based air traffic control.
Well, I mean, this is a really, really sad game to get into, but I can confirm that it's got kind of game. If you get into it, you will lose at least one Thursday every month. Well, you just think, it's Thursday. There's not a lot to do. You know, it's, you know that Thursday feeling. Fridays are good because Friday, you know, fucking hell, I get pissed tonight and I got a weekend off.
Yeah.
Thursdays are like shit days. If you're not fucking busy, you think, oh, let's have a quick game of this. All the boxes at the office. Right. And then you will wake up with fucking keyboard imprint on the side of your face. The boss thinking you pulled a fucking all-nighter. The missus has left a million messages on your fucking answer phone. Not fucking good. You don't want to start getting addicted to that kind of stuff.
Now what?
It's like crack, but in end curses.
What I was thinking about this is that if there was a networked version, it could be really cool because I could look after Wolverhampton or Gloucester, whatever.
Wolverhampton International Airport.
There is no Wolverhampton Airport, and the reason
there
you know
is,
that
there is. I've flown a plane from there.
Well, okay, but they're not going to make it big enough to have proper air traffic control because. Well, and the reason you know this is because every road into Wolverhampton has got signs saying no Wolverhampton Airport. Every 100.
the really brilliant thing is it's got no fly zone as the logo. All the fucking Kurdish immigrants were nicking these things because I thought it was a laugh. They all had them in the window supporting the no fly zone. Fantastic. I was talking to somebody that ran the call for me who's a Kurd and he thought it was bloody brilliant.
No fly zone and no ATC zone because I've never tried it, so I don't know what it's like, to be honest, but so I can't comment.
Well, it's nice. Nice for you, Monsieur Ben. Yes. We'll give it a go sometime. Apt get install ATC,
I suspect.
We hope.
But if it's not in Debian, we're just
not going to use it.
Yeah. It's pretty highly likely that we're not going to use it anyway, but its chances do increase above zero if it's in Debian.
Have you played Flight Gear?
Is that the flight simulator?
Yeah.
Is that the one that was in the helicopter at the Lucas?
Yeah.
But you need like 10 really powerful machines that can do anything, don't you?
Yeah. And you've also got to try and figure out how to take off as well, instead of just rolling along the runway and crashing into things. I managed to take off once, and I couldn't get the sound working.
You feel like you're in the Krypton Factor.
Landing that's the problem. You get these things off the ground, and then you either start a roll or a dive that you can't get out of because physics just doesn't allow you to fly it like it was, like, you know, Afterburner or something.
Afterburner. See, that was
so once you get up in the air, there's fuck all to do but crash.
I mean, I never understood with flight simulators. You've got two sorts, right? You've got Afterburner and things like it. Loads of people are going, that's
really
not a fucking flight simulator.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
And then you've got ones which are actually like flying a real helicopter.
Or gunship.
Gunship. Exactly like
gunship.
Which used every
helicopter key
on the keyboard. It was worse than bastard
Emacs. It was bloody brilliant. You could pop up behind a hill and shoot things and pop back.
No, you couldn't. Because you went, right, I'm going to pop up behind this hill. Okay. What the hell's popping up? And then you go, right, it's control, alt, shift, and
so,
D.
To be fair,
every time you've smacked into the hill at 800 miles an hour.
To be fair, I spent most of 1988 playing gunship.
It's stupid. I never understood why. I mean, people study for years to do this, and the only reason people fly helicopters is because they get paid loads of money. I can't understand why you'd want to do it when you got home.
Now, the thing is, I'm sure that if you're flying a real helicopter, it would be absolutely fantastic.
No, helicopters are a really good way to get rid of B-list celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really good way to, you know, trim down the B-list celebrities. All these people that go on Celebrity Big Brother crash helicopters. Mike Smith.
I knew you were going to say Mike Smith. That's that's slightly in bad taste, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's not dead.
He bloody nearly was, and
Mike
he killed
Smith.
His career.
That's in old Mike Smith with Sarah Green.
Yeah.
I killed the relationship. He must have lost his... No, no, no,
the reason his career died is because he crashed a helicopter with Sarah Green in it.
So is that why Bucks Fizz aren't around anymore? Because they had a coach crash.
They had a coach crash.
Anyway.
Can we move away from Celebrity
Day? He had a crash, didn't she, and broke her back?
Who?
Miami thingy.
Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan.
Miami Sound Machine.
Gloria
Estefan.
She had a crash and she come back.
So did Gloria Gaynor.
Gloria Gaynor had a crash. I thought she used to be a man.
You know the I Will Survive video where she's all standing up and she was in a back brace.
Was she?
When they were doing
how
the video,
ironic.
Yeah.
Gloria really, Radio will
it's really good,
next
yeah.
week.
Backlit video was that. Now, the one with all the big lights and the 70s hairdos.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, the hairspray must have been used
people.
In that.
Their excuse, everybody's head is, it was the 70s. Right, what's number
anyway,
three?
Anyway.
Sporting a fine example this evening.
I am. Fantastic,
Firefox
fantastic
is number three.
The quiff.
Nice. Obviously.
Firefox, obviously, and we all say
yeah. Good. Obviously. Yeah.
Not Epiphany, not Galleon, not the Mozilla Suite.
Four.
Not,
is that say Israel? What's it say? I can't see
it. It says IRC.
Hey!
Console IRC client. I don't get the IRC access at work, but I do get SSH access.
So we won't be saying where you work then, Ben?
No, you won't.
Ah, yeah.
I was thinking of working for them, and now I'm not gonna.
Yeah. I was gonna try and make some kind of joke to insinuate who it is, but that would be a bit cruel on the chat, wouldn't it?
Plus, we've tried that. We've tried that with the unnamed but very, very nearly named online bank Matt used to work for.
That's close. The closest hint yet, and people still don't get it.
Yeah. It's a very good console-based IRC client. I used to use it all the time. IRC. I was SSH'd in IRC.
Yeah.
Except in Debian, it's called IRC-text because IRC is actually a this GUI two, client. But the GUI clients, everyone uses XChat.
They
right?
stopped it in there. They stopped
I think IRC is just a thing, isn't it? Isn't it just a?
It's just
a
dumb, text now.
No, I think it's just a dummy.
It's a library.
A dummy Deb, and there's the two clients.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
I think so. Anyway.
I mean. As far as I can tell, everyone who's using IRC off the console either uses IRC if they're normal people, or they use BitchX if they're elite.
BitchX, if they want to use it. MIRC but haven't got a fucking Windows box
people
anymore.
People use Epic and shit and IRC II, but they always have gone away. There's BitchX for elite people and IRC for everybody else.
I used to telnet into a box. Security, nobody fucking used back then. Telnet into a box, type IRC.
Yeah.
And that was
and you got IRC II or Epic or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Ancient client.
It's an IRC client. What more do you need to do than talk to people? I mean, if you want to run...
Oh, no, you need to be able to run scripts and egg drop bots. Why the fuck's it called an egg drop?
Because it keeps farting.
Is that actually true?
No. I don't know, but you've been in some channels and there's like a distinct smell of shit when there's too many bots on there. Back to what I was saying. Oh,
your client's cooler than mine.
Yeah,
whatever. Mine doesn't do that.
Whatever client you need, whatever client you have,
Oda over
it
XML.
Just the most important thing is not to show fucking colour. Obviously, syntax highlighting and things and name highlighting and stuff like that. That's good. But don't show fucking pictures of fucking roses, characters and shit all in colour.
That used to piss me off in the mid-90s when everyone used to do like the blocks of colour.
Yeah. Oh, God. When people came on, auto fucking greets. That, you know, 10 people in the fucking channel would have auto greets with fucking scrolls and shit on
it. I don't get as well, you know how some people can trigger sounds over IRC?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Not if you've got a fucking client in the card.
Because it used to happen all the time. Like someone would go, ha-ha, I kick your ass. And they'd record it down their little PC World magazine.
I'd like to
magazine?
Smack them in the
microphone.
Face.
Yeah, but I was on a fucking 28.8 modem back then. It used to take like 3 weeks for the fucking file to download. But then this bloke had fucking logged off, so I couldn't even fucking slap him with a halibut or whatever.
Oh, God. Wet haddock.
With a wet haddock. Exactly right. One of the fucking funniest things I ever saw... I'm not sure whether it was on The Onion or what. And the headline was, MIRC receives 10th registration.
Isn't that true?
And it was all going on about Caleb Marden Bale, whatever his name is. Actually, he was saying, you know, it's really good that I give away MIRC and everyone's supposed to subscribe. And now this is the 10th person. I believe there are 100 million copies of it in use or something. And I thought it was real.
His problem was his photograph. Presented it as real.
Did I? Yes. All right. I really didn't think it was real when I first read it.
His photograph put people off. They'd look at him and they think, it's a student.
Yeah.
They're not going to give him money.
And he's never changed. Have you noticed that? He was born that way. And he's never changed.
He's been 18 now for 10 years.
it's worse than Bart Simpson, isn't it?
It's got to be, what, 10 years old? Maybe
probably, yeah.
9, 8, yeah. Something like that, years old, MIRC.
Mid-90s.
Right, and it was a perfectly good client in 1996.
Number five.
Number five.
Back to software that we're actually having
number five.
In the Desert Island Disc.
Mutt.
Hey.
Full of features, but still accessible over SSH.
Yep. Text mode. Oh, it's about the text mode mail client. Unless you're using Emacs.
Don't use it, but never use it, in fact.
PyCrust.
Number six, PyCrust. Part of the WXPython GUI library for Python. Lots of extra functionality when knocking up larger Python scripts. Being able to view the namespace in a tree view is especially nice. I think that's really great. I've just wanted to view the namespace in a tree view for many years.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling a bit thick here, John. Could you explain to me what namespace is?
You know what namespace is, surely. Okay. It's a unique...
You do not, on the other hand.
Yeah, I do.
I do.
In this context?
Well, the namespace in a tree. I know a namespace is a way of differentiating between different API... like, for example, in XML. So if, let's say, for example, you had a milkshake tag in XML. The milkshake tag might come from one particular XML technology or another technology. So you use a namespace to differentiate.
Yeah.
Crusher.
So your milkshake would be in your milk namespace, and your fries would be in your potato namespace.
But
it would form a Burger King order document.
Admittedly, I don't quite see the relevance to the namespace in a tree view.
So you can see the fucking things that are in the namespace in a fucking tree. You can see the relation
of the stuff. He's having a kind of collapsible list so you can see the names of all your modules.
Oh,
that
right.
That you've imported, then you can expand a module to see the functions or the variables.
And the objects and everything.
I guess. So the tree itself is the namespace.
It's a fucking tree
view.
It's a tree widget. Oh,
a
tree widget?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, of course, yeah. All right. Sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking in XML still.
As it is, some people use PyQuest. I seem to like it. I must confess, I've never actually got around to using it.
I used Boa Constructor thing, and I thought it was probably the worst way to build a GUI application. Even worse than VB. But I like WXGlade, so...
I was hoping Boa Constructor would turn out to be as easy to use as VB for simple applications, and it conspicuously failed to do so.
Yeah.
So...
Well, number seven sounds interesting. Blob Wars.
I'm on there.
This sounds like some kind of Lilette challenge.
oh, God.
In Linux format, great magazine, incidentally. In Linux format, a couple of months ago, a great little platform shoot 'em up. I've never ever played Blob Wars. Blob I might have Wars. Read it. I'm sure I have read about it.
It's a shoot 'em up. I haven't seen that.
I used to love shoot 'em ups.
What the hell is a platform shoot 'em up? There's platform games.
Platform.
No. There's platform games and there's shoot 'em ups. But I've never seen one that's
both. Some kind of I'm
like Super Mario Brothers with a gun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like shoot things, shoot fireballs. Like the Universal Soldier game on the Amiga in about 1989.
You can't.
Did you say Balti game?
Mario Brothers. You can you can jump on one of the little turtle guys and you can pick up a turtle balls.
If you pick up the fire thing, after you get the mushroom to make you big, you get a little fire thing.
Would you buy them?
You shoot fireballs.
Bullshit.
Fuck off! It's been in Mario since about 85.
Lies.
The ability to shoot. It's because you shoot at
what,
Mario.
Hang on, what are you on about?
Is that why I've never finished it? Because I never had a fireball mushroom.
It's not like a mushroom. It's like a little flaming. In the NES and the Game Boy versions.
Bullshit.
But, you've never finished Mario. None of them.
I can't remember. I finished the one on the Game Boy. Super Mario Land.
Super Mario Land. Super Mario Land 2.
I never had Super Mario Land 2.
After every fucking mushroom.
Oh, I'll have to get the music.
And then you go to the pipe.
Number 8. Jeez.
Okay. Yeah. after every mushroom... You go big, the next thing is a little fire thing, shoot fireballs off either button.
Somewhere on the internet, a Lug Radio listener now knows how to finish Super Mario Land.
Excellent.
Well,
he explained to me, squidge has been the solution. You squidge down to get under something that you can't really get under.
Right, okay. Number 8.
We're talking about Blob Wars. okay, number 8, Gphoto / GT Cam, or GT Cam. Depending on which way you're looking at.
Yeah, GT Cam, I think. It's a witty pun.
There's so many of those in the course. Yes.
These
so much fun, spelt with P-H.
O-N.
And ending in fart.
Go have some fun.
These guys deserve a mention just because they are the sheer amount of work they've done and the number of cameras that they are supporting.
Good on them.
Surely it's the Kernel guys that are...
No, because the Gphoto supports all the cameras. But these days, any digital camera that comes out, it's just a mass storage device.
I was going to say, it's just...
So nobody cares. But before that was the case, you had to have a separate driver module for each camera, and Gphoto did it.
I don't plug my camera in. I take the memory card, and I plug that into the computer.
Yeah.
We haven't all got a reader, though.
You haven't all got fucking ice cameras.
I mean,
die, you bastard.
The problem with
Gphoto. By the way, I'm at the moment, it's been repaired.
My problem with Gphoto is that he did tons and tons and tons of work to support all these cameras, and now none of that work matters because all digital cameras in the world now are USB mass storage, aren't they?
Yeah.
At
which point you plug them in and the thing just goes, it's another hard drive. So all the work they've done is completely fucking useless.
Funny you should say that. It does that on my system at the moment. You just plug the camera in and it works.
So we'll talk about that later. So, Mr. Ben's chosen a book.
His book is Microsurfs by Douglas Copeland.
Douglas Copeland.
I haven't read any of his stuff.
I read a bit of
some of his books, and I look forward to.
I've got Microsurfs. It's quite interesting.
He says, "Yeah, I'm a spod. Yada, yada, yada."
Yeah, but Microsoft is quite a good book, I think.
He's also Maureen Lipman.
I've read...
Yada, yada, yada.
Generation X and Girlfriend in a Coma, and I think that's about it. That's my fucking point. It's that quiff again, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've started reading The Cuckoo's Egg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've just literally started it. It's quite interesting. It's got to the... Oh, I won't even spoil it for people.
It's a true fucking story. Anyone who wants to know about it knows it.
And more to the point...
Yeah, but people want to read the book.
But the rule for spoilers normally is you can talk about stuff once it's out in paperback. And The Cuckoo's Egg has been out in paperback for about 10 fucking years.
Yeah. More than that, but about 12, 13,
Cinema is his luxury item.
Talking of which, Wolverhampton University, you can't have...
He says yes, a whole cinema.
You can't have it back.
Cinema.
You're not taking a cinema as your luxury item.
It's a bit of an extreme luxury item, isn't it?
I think he's pushing it.
I think I'll have a 747.
No, if he said like home cinema, we'd allow it. But fucking whole
cinema.
With fucking ice cream and arcade games and everything. That's taking a piss. I'm going to take Great Britain as my luxury item.
That could be a desert island.
What island is Great Britain? Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Ben, for sending that in. Don't forget that if you want to get involved with Desert Island Discs, and let's not forget people to include a room 404, eh? So, yeah, come on, send in 8 bits of software. It doesn't have to be 8, can be as many as you want.
No, it can't. It could be no more than 8.
All right, no more than
Someone's going to send in 1,000, you know?
Yeah, we'll just ignore them.
Yeah, let's limit.
Right. No more than 8 bits of software, a luxury item, and, well, I suppose a book if you want.
And preferably a few fivers for us as well.
Yeah. And what you would want to take on a desert island in terms of software. Send it to show@lugradio.org. That's
show@lugradio.org.
.org. So, yeah.
With the Bee Gees.
I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to.
Wiley have recently published a book called Project Arcade by John Sinclair. Now, a lot of kind of, let's say, geeky type people are interested.
Let's say.
Who could we be talking about? Let's get twatty, shall we?
Are interested in getting lots of little bits together and making their own arcade machine. So, Sparks, you've read this book. Tell us about it.
It's about making your own arcade. It's pretty cool. I think it's by the bloke who did arcadecontrols.com, which isn't an exercise in how to fucking order a website, but it's got shitloads more content than most of the websites. So it's good in one measure. And this book pulls together all the things you need to know about to build your own clone of an arcade machine, rather than ripping the goods out of another one and sticking a computer in it.
Are you actually building just one single arcade machine, or are you putting a PC in it that runs
MAME? It's a PC running MAME, obviously, and other emulators. It's a bit bad ripping apart a beautiful 80s arcade machine just to fucking play Pac-Man when you could fucking restore a Pac-Man machine and keep that.
Well,
yeah. So this goes through the construction of a cabinet, construction of controls, design of controls, all the things you can pull apart to make your controls.
It sounds like something Ground Force or something like that. Sounds involved.
It's like Tommy Walsh, but with less fucking dirt.
And Sparks doesn't wear a bra either.
And his nips are showing.
Don't draw attention to the nips. I know you're talking about them. That's not pointing.
They're very attractive, those Sparks, I feel.
As long as they point at Matt and John, then I'm perfectly happy.
Before we get into the... Oh, go on. Sorry.
And all I was going to say was there are tons and tons and tons of sites on the net where some guy's built a cabinet out of MDF and stuck a PC in it and things. What makes this book worth money?
It's
unless they give it out for nothing, do they? I assume not.
Review copies quite often come for nothing. It's a good point, but it pulls together all the mistakes people have made and says, don't make this mistake.
Right, okay.
Instead of having to go to 20 websites to realise that there are 20 mistakes out there, it says, don't make this mistake, don't make this mistake. The guy's done the research for you. It's quite a well-researched book. The bloke's been involved in the community for three years.
Before we get into the book itself anymore, I mean, I just want to know, why would you want to build your own arcade machine?
play all arcade games? It's wicked.
It's cool. I mean,
if you have to ask that question,
then you're not
going to
understand the answer. I don't think
it'd be cool.
You play Mr. Do all the time for money.
It'd be great having a coin
building up. An MDF cabinet.
It's just not the same.
Is it the same as having your own, I don't know, jukebox or something like that? It's just,
I'd say so.
It's just the cool.
Like you can pretend you're the fond.
I think it's having a cabinet. Having the cabinet there, it'll be like reliving your childhood.
Yeah, there are some games you can't play with it.
Well, I'd have to make
controls.
A cabinet look like a Spectrum then.
You can't. Arkanoid, you can never play with a joystick or anything. It's got to have a spinner.
It's got to have the spinner thing, yeah.
And Thingy, it's got to have the trackball, you know, with the missile command and all that.
Yeah.
It's got to have a trackball. You've got to have...
Arkanoid 2 Revenge of Doe has to have the twisty thing as well.
Revenge of Doe. With a spelling mistake in the thingy. Fantastic. Replicated perfectly on the 8-bit platform with that spelling mistake.
What amazed me more than almost anything else I saw about, you know, this kind of area is people were building arcade machines, you know, build the whole cabinet out of MDF or whatever they set up, and then they put a coin receiver in it, so you had to pay... What's the point? You know, you can go down the arcade and play Virtua Fighter 8 or whatever.
Yeah, but you get the money back afterwards. It's your machine.
Yeah, but what's the point in putting it in then?
What's the point when your mates come round? An arcade machine where you can just play on your computer. I suppose it's a whole experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but then the experience costs you money.
Why drive an old Morgan car that's made out of wood, and if you crash,
why drive a new
dangerous,
Morgan car?
You know.
They're not dangerous. Morgans would be...
All right,
they're safer than the 70s steel sports car, and it's like a 1950s design.
Fine, okay. Look, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, why do any of these things? It's because people have
nostalgia.
You kind of feel the experience.
I mean, it's not actually costing you money if you're putting your coins in there and getting them back out the other end again.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the inconvenience of having to open up the thing.
But that's the thing. You know, when you reach the door off the thing and then use one 10p the whole time. But if you can do that, you might as well just put a switch on it that presses the button.
Now, there is a switch on the back of the coin mechanism open. You didn't know this. You had an expensive youth, didn't you? If you open it up and press the button a few times,
if you stick a screwdriver in it.
No, that bit I know about. A little micro switch.
Yeah. To count the coins, yeah.
Okay, so we've established that, you know, you might want to build one because you fancy it. So when I had a quick flick through the book before I gave it to you, there was like a whole section on choosing controls and things like that. Does it go literally go in? Because it's a really thick book. It must go into real detail about this sort
of
thing.
You can make a lot of mistakes with the placement of your controls and stuff.
Right.
So people have made these mistakes before, and it shows you a few example control panels and says, they look great, but now think of the consequences of this and this. And you think, oh, shit, that
would... The consequences.
Well, the consequences are you lose 2 weeks of your fucking life having to drill all that fucking holes.
If you drill it wrong, your balls will drop off.
You get the red and the yellow buttons around the wrong way, then when you press the red button, the world blows up. Fucking hell. I'm glad there's a book now. You don't get that sort of information for free on the internet, do you?
Do you think this is...
You can't get a polarity wrong on a button now, can you?
Is this the steam engine restoration of the 21st century?
No, because there's an arcade restoration thing. It's a whole different movement. Arcade restoration is different.
The making your own steam engine movement.
It's the same way,
a massively popular movement in the 1920s among about, you know, two guys.
Well, you get model steam engines still, and steam enthusiasts start with a model steam engine.
Yeah.
I suppose this could be lead on to something else. When
do you have a model steam engine? How big is it?
You've never been on those, like, mini ones.
And those little tiny model ones, what they're called, Red Bull Company, beginning with M.
Hornby. And big things like that.
Hornby, but it's
they can't be steam engines, can they?
The Hornby ones aren't.
What do you do? You put a match head in it or something, and then it boils.
It's like
water.
A solid block with paraffin and stuff embedded in it, like a fire lighter.
People just build the engines, not the actual moving bits.
Gotcha.
Sparks, question. If you had permission to do this, would you build the cabinet yourself?
I fucking would, mate.
And if
it would be a four-player gauntlet cabinet.
You've got to have a four-player gauntlet.
That would be wicked.
I can see the point in that. If you're doing it with your mates.
A four-player gauntlet cabinet. Oh my god.
One of the things that...
You could play Ninja Turtles on it.
Ninja Turtles, yes.
One of the things that I never understood is, say you wanted a four-player gauntlet cabinet. At that point, you can't play Arkanoid because you haven't got the spinner thing. And you also can't play Afterburner because you haven't got a great big joystick in the middle.
This is the thing with the cabinet.
Do you sort of switch in new control sets? Or do you have all of them on the front so it looks like the Starship Enterprise?
There are some people that build them so you can take the box off and plug a new control panel in.
That'd
and
be
just
cool.
Clip on.
Doesn't sound too fucking difficult to build, though, does it? No.
Pain in the ass. You've got to build the same fucking bit of wood 10 times and drill holes.
Plus, how do you plug all the controls in?
USB, surely.
Well, yeah, but you've still got to plug in this great big box of buttons on it and then ponce about with your hand inside it, plugging in loads of
USB. Well, no, you could create a similar concept to, like, you know, those removable hard drive bays. If you...
Yeah, but then you'd have to build a connector yourself. That'd be really difficult.
Would it?
I fucking wouldn't. Mate, would you? Use one of them removable hard drive and things, screw it onto the back, say this is the problem I'm fucking doing.
Oh, come on, Sparks, you've got to do it. The four-player gauntlet cabinet has got to happen.
We've got to have a Lug Radio gauntlet championship.
The thing is, I've only got a two-bedroomed house and both being used.
Oh, well,
my house is overpopulated.
Which do you want more, right? A son or a four-player gauntlet?
I'm guessing...
Originally...
Sell him, you'll get loads of money.
We've got...
I know someone will buy him.
Oh, I'm vegetarian, so I can't.
We've got him.
That's cruel.
What did you
we're
say?
We're in child training.
We've got an elderly guinea pig in it and a rapidly aging rabbit, and that was going to be the place for the cabinet, but Jenny wants a bigger freezer.
When you say an elderly guinea pig, do you mean an old person that you do experiments on?
We've probably got the oldest guinea
pig. Hello, granddad, here's more shampoo in your eyes. That's not very nice, is it?
Don't stop smoking.
So do you think you could sell one? I mean, could you like...
There are companies that make them and sell them, but the thing of the time that goes in, it's 1,000 quid, and you're only going to sell 10 a year. It's fucked, isn't it?
Next question. Isn't MAME of dubious legality?
Yeah, I was going to...
In that you can get MAME, but you can't get the ROMs. And if you sold an arcade machine without the MAME ROMs, it'd be useless. And if you sold it with the MAME ROMs, Namco would come around and beat the shit out of
you. It would be illegal. You can't distribute MAME with the ROMs. It's part
exactly,
of the license.
Exactly, yeah. Which means that you could sell a thing which starts up and says, this is MAME, go and download some ROMs from the internet, which would be no good at all.
This is MAME, go and buy some arcade boards and...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Then
sorry.
Either dump the ROMs yourself or acquire them off the internet.
Yeah, I didn't mean download MAME off the internet because that would be against the law.
The playing the games in MAME is not the main point. It's the main point most people use it, but most of the developers are into...
Oh, my God, I've never seen that door shut before.
Just had the most haunted moment there.
Yeah.
And the windows are open, so...
The studio door just shut.
And David Kakura just fucking jumped up and said obvious.
Hey, it's a spirit!
I'm the spirit of the door. And I've decided... Yvette, I've decided to close.
He wants to be left alone. He does this
brilliant thing. He goes, hey, la. I used to be in the Liverpool reserves. You get the news. He went on Captain England, and I get possessed by demons.
Thanks, Sam.
He's like a fucking senior. He signs off, doesn't he? Yeah. Roger, Sam. Roger.
Anyone who hasn't got a clue what we're talking about, go on to living.tv, right, and look for Most Haunted. It's a UK cable TV.
Whatever you do, don't troll on the forums because my girlfriend is a rabid poster and reader of the Most Haunted.
It's brilliant,
forums.
Though. Isn't
I nearly
it?
Registered, but they wanted to know my dick size.
Really?
Well, they wanted to know so much information that I was just kind of, you know.
I think I was registered.
Did the box only allow one digit?
I was ready to.
Oh, you're Matt Ravel. Drop down box, 1 or 2 inches.
I can't get away with that and saying, no, it's Jono who said about the dick.
It's like that bloke who got the sack for writing an application in VB that kept popping up on his boss's workstation that says, I have got a small dick, yes or no. And every time he went to have a no, it chased him, yes. And the buttons kept swapping sides. And it kept popping up in a meeting with the female client who was very embarrassed.
So, back to MAME.
Back to MAME, yeah. The main point of MAME is to preserve the code.
Bullshit.
Okay.
I've never heard such lies in all my life.
It's a side issue that you get to play fucking brilliant games from your youth.
The main point of Mario is let people play or Outrun and Chase HQ. No,
everyone's appallingly mad. Does Chase HQ even work? It works really good in Rain. It's worked in Rain for years.
What's Rain?
Rain's another arcade emulator. Rainbow Islands.
Oh, Rainbow Islands, that was wicked!
Rainbow Islands was
It was really bloody difficult.
Was that
when you got
that was
the
before
end.
Bubble Bubble,
nah,
wasn't
Bubble
it?
Bubble Bubble was the first one.
Oh, right.
Rainbow Islands. And New Zealand Story.
New Zealand Story, God, yeah.
I think it might be an idea for us to... it might be an idea for us to move on.
Sorry, I was just drowned in nostalgia.
Is
the book good?
if you're interested in doing this kind of thing, you've probably read all these websites already, but having it all in one place so you can remember the stupid mistakes that people have made and you can look up stuff in one place easily is a nice idea. Yeah. It's quite a cheap book as well, as books go.
Plus,
how much is it? You're right, Matt.
Don't ask me things like that.
It's a few quid.
If you're in the market for doing this for yourself, it's going to cost you a minimum of a few hundred quid.
Oh, yeah.
At which point, would you say you'd be well advised to spend an extra 20 quid on the project and buy the book?
Buy the book. It'll save you 20 quid on a couple of sheets of MDF and a few buttons. It'll save you drilling holes in the wrong places and things.
So it'll show you how to do it properly.
Cool.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
Nice one.
I'd recommend it.
And to all the people who listen to Lug Radio, I think we should start some form of petition for Sparks to build a four-player gauntlet cabinet.
Yeah, mail us or post to the forums telling us why you think Sparks ought to build the cabinet and casting your vote in favour.
Yeah. I nearly spent lots of money on an office just so I could actually have somewhere to have my cabinet.
Oh, poor old Sparks. Wants the cabinet.
Email
so,
us
yeah.
show@lugradio.org.
Yes.
No, email Jenny.
Yeah, because your missus is going to be well pleased. She gets 5,000 emails saying, please let Sparks have a MAME cabinet. And she comes into you and goes, what's a MAME cabinet? And then punch your face.
The problem is she knows full well what a MAME cabinet is and how big it would end up. Okay, so we wrap this up and I'd recommend the book if you're interested in it. If you're not, you're not going to buy the fucking book anyway.
Been about the cost of inkjet cartridges. This has been in the news in the UK for at least a year now, because the government have looked into it, the European Parliament have looked into it, and the UK Consumers Association looked into it. But I think it was, I'm not sure if it was, it was the 20th of April, so it's not entirely newsy. The European Parliament had a vote on whether companies operating in the EU should be forced to provide, to make electronic goods recyclable. And also part of this is that they can't put a chip into any consumable to stop it from being refilled or whatever. So essentially this is, the vote went through and now a directive has been passed which will go through into UK, French and everywhere else law, saying that really, essentially you can't stop people from recycling or refilling inkjet cartridges.
Right, yeah.
Question. You said recycling or refilling. This is recycling as in putting ink in them and using them again as ink cartridges, or is this recycling the same way that you recycle bowls?
As I understand it, it's returning them, say, to the manufacturer for them to then put ink back into them and recycle them.
Right, well, we're talking about that kind of recycling, environmental recycling.
Well, it still is environmental recycling.
Well, yeah, I know, but that it's mainly to stop people having to pay 25 quid when you can get one for 11.
I think it's a bit of both as far as European policy.
They're bloody expensive for print cartridges.
Well, we'll come on to that in a minute. What were you going to say, Sparks?
I think electronic goods have got to be 70% recycled anyway.
Yeah.
Goods have no in Europe.
Yeah, but I think the whole point in this directive is that the consumables now, so even if it's, ink cartridges, it could be any kind of electronic consumable, it's got to be recyclable. And basically, the whole point of it, I think, is ink cartridges, because let's have a look at the statistics. I've got this off of... They are. Yeah. I've got this off of David Bowe, who is MEP for Yorkshire and Humber.
You see, I thought that said David Bowie.
Yes, so did I.
I thought that's really weird.
I'm pretty sure David Bowie isn't the MEP for Yorkshire and Humber.
He's
unless he's changed his name again.
he's the Labour Party's European spokesman for the environment.
Green cartridge.
here's what he says. He says that a survey has underlined the widely different costs and performance of different cartridges and printer systems. He reckons that one popular printer costs £708 to operate over an 18-month period, and another one costs £1,700.
That's because they're using the printers for the wrong things. You buy a 30-quid printer with 20-quid ink cartridges, it's meant to be really, really light home use. Right? You spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a bulk laser. It's meant for high use. These things cost less than a penny a shot,
Yeah.
But, you know, your home one's going to cost you 50, 60, 70 pence a shot.
But, you've got to be able to pony up £1,000 up front for a printer.
Yeah, but it's different uses for different people.
Yeah, but nonetheless, why should the ink be the cost of... Sorry, I'm not talking very well. Why should ink in an ink cartridge cost £1.75 per millilitre? Which, according to the Consumer Association press release,
makes this is exhilarating.
Seven times more expensive than bloody champagne.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, now that is interesting.
He's what's his name? David Bowie, sorry. Champagne Socialist, is he?
Oh, I don't know.
He's
what if you Consumers Association.
What if you put champagne in the ink cartridge? Could that somehow lower the cost?
As long as you didn't want to print anything in red.
The Consumers Association do say that, you can't do that because obviously that would ruin your printer.
It's going to get to a point where someone's going to put a notice on there saying, please don't put champagne in during cartridge.
Do not expose your Laser Writer 2 to fire. That was a real thing in the Apple Laser Writer 2 printer manual.
This printer is not for consumption.
Exactly.
Don't eat your printer.
Please do not immerse this printer in water.
All sorts of stuff like that.
So you're going to make a point.
Yeah, go on, Sparks.
Different things for different reasons. I'll name a brand now that got a particular reputation for this. Lexmark printers, dirt cheap. Cartridges cost almost as much as the fucking printers, right? But you're not meant to use these for writing fucking letters every day.
Yeah, but is that right? I mean, surely yes. I'd have thought you'd have been behind things being a bit more up from pricing. I mean,
to your main dealer for a service, and why does a fucking oil filter not cost £5? Why does it cost £30? It's got off the main dealer's shelf and been fitted by a main dealer bloke.
It doesn't make it right.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the point. I mean, when a new printer comes out, you have to buy, say, the Lexmark cartridge because there is no clone of it.
Yeah, there's no market. There's no competition. Yeah, what's going to happen now?
So you are stuck having to buy there. I mean, I bought... I can't remember what it was, so I don't want to impugn a particular company. I bought an inkjet...
Go on. No one cares.
I bought an inkjet printer. And I thought, oh, I know about this. I'm not going to get fucking stung, right? Cartridges about £25. I looked around. There was one. The cartridge was £6. And I thought, ha-ha! That's
each colour.
That's the printer for me. No. This was a black one was £6 and a colour one was £6. So I thought, fine, that's the printer for me. That way, if it runs out a lot, it doesn't matter. It's only £6 a cartridge. And I bought it, took it home, did some printing. And then the cartridge ran out. I bought another one for £6. No problem. Bought another one for £6, printer stopped working, so I took it back in the place where I bought it, which I think might have been PC World, actually. And they said, oh, you need to buy a new printer head. And I said, printer head's a part of the cartridge, and they said, not on this printer. So you had to go and buy a new printer head for £40.
What?
So it was the same fucking price as £25 a cartridge. It just meant you went £6, £40, £6, yeah. £40, rather than £25.
Canons used to have the...
And I turned the air blue on the way out of the shop.
Yeah, Canons used to have the jets as part of the cartridge, yeah, that's why they were expensive.
No, Hewlett Packard, sorry.
Yeah.
Question for you all. I remember something that amazed... This is something that amazed Adam Sweet, who's in our lug, when I first met him. I've never really ever needed to use a printer.
Right.
Do any of you actually use them very often?
Not at home, no.
Sam uses hers all the time.
Really?
Yeah, but we have a Hewlett Packard desk jet. And they are reasonably priced in terms of cartridges, and they print for ages.
Now the thing,
buy a desk jet. But what jets are brilliant? Not a fucking bubble jet or anything like that. Buy a Hewlett Packard desk jet. Ideally, one of the old ones, not a brand new flashy colour.
What do we all use prints for? I mean, I
now I've got
I print things.
I've got a photo printer for doing photos and documents, full photo resolution, and I've got a laser printer for printing everything else.
Right.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, one of the things that I think particularly makes this bad is that Epson's, the Consumers Association report backs this up, so I can quite safely say this is fact. Some Epson ink cartridges are programmed for a certain number of uses.
They are.
So even if there's still ink in there,
yeah,
they will stop working.
£12 £12 for a cheap reprogrammer.
Fine.
It is wrong.
Under the UCD, that'd be illegal.
It's like programming a toaster to only use
exactly
a certain amount.
It would be illegal under the UCD, yeah.
But programming in a certain number of prints that aren't related to the ink used, it sounds... My friend's convinced that the ink on his thingy is exactly how it says on the software. I says, how does it know? It's guessing how much it's used. It doesn't know how much is used up every time it charges the heads and sucks it back up afterwards.
Yeah.
It doesn't know how much wastage there is.
No.
You know, you take the fucker out, you put the fucker back in. It doesn't know.
I mean, to be honest with you, if there was an ink cartridge which actually monitored the level of ink inside itself and told the software about it, I think it would be worth £25. Yeah. But the point is that there would be one which was... £2, which didn't have that in, and everyone would buy that one.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to find out more about this, then you can go on David Bowie's website, or...
David Bowie's?
davidbowie.com or something. Or you can go on the Consumers Association, which is which.co.uk, and they've got a full report on all this.
Round control to Epson. Do you know your cartridge is done?
Right, a new thing, which I am informed I'm forced to call Axe 100 Big One. I ought to point out this was not my idea, but there you go. The theory is this, right? You've won the lottery or something, and you've decided that you're going to take £100,000 and you're going to use it to further the cause of open source software, of free software. Right? You can do anything you want with that £100,000 as long as it does further that cause.
Yeah.
So you could employ two developers for a year, both of them to work on the Linux kernel. You could employ a developer in each of two projects. You could spend it on advertising. So you could buy four adverts in the middle of Coronation Street, for example, advertising Linux. You could donate it to the EFF. You know, do you want to fight for the freedom in free software, or do you want to fight for the software in free software?
Or you could allow the AFFS to give away more than £25 a time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what we're interested in is what you think is the best thing to do with that £100,000. You have to spend it on something to do with furthering the cause of free software. You can't just buy Mars bars with it, right? But
you're not actually going to get it as well.
Yeah. So we ought to be clear about this. We haven't got £100,000 pugged away for the best answer.
Yeah, it's much like the desert island. It's not real.
That's a third of a million Mars bars.
Rock and roll. That's what I need to do.
You can build a Mars bar house.
That sounds like hell.
And a house with probably software developers.
Oh, have you tried the new Mars bars, by the way?
No.
The Ponzi ones?
Oh, no.
Just try them. Nice.
Anyway, right? we've got some thoughts about it, which we'll be talking about over the next few episodes of Lug Radio. But we'd be interested in what you've got to say as well. So, if you'd like to post to the forums, there will be a thread on the forums about it.
Yeah.
Then... you know, if you'd like to follow up that thread, or you can mail us at show@lugradio.org.
That's show@lugradio.org.
We'd love to hear from you.
We would.
Okay, here we go. This is the end of the show. This is our favourite bit because it means
we're finished.
We're finished. It means we've just got leaving Jono and Matt to do all their hard work, which incidentally is why the show is now going to be released on Mondays. We're still going to be recording every other Wednesday, but the show is going to be released the Monday after.
Give
people
right.
time to get things done in a reasonable time period.
Yeah, it means Jono doesn't have to stay up till 5 in the morning.
which is okay because he normally does, but when he's got early work somewhere else in the country, and I said this right at the beginning, we should have, you know, eagerness. We were young.
We were young and foolish and had a peanut for a brain.
Yeah. Yes, so...
It's not big. It's not clever.
No, and it's very tiring.
It's Lug Radio.
Yeah, so as you may have noticed, last week we emitted a special edition. A special emission. special episode one.
Comes out of each bollock. Special emission.
Special emission one.
Sanctioned by the Dalai Lama. Sex life.
And it was a special late night emission as well.
All about the forthcoming UK elections.
It won't be forthcoming by the time this is released.
No. Well, yeah, okay. Forthcoming today. But you'll have voted and everything by now. But we just want to... We've got an email from some guy in Canada. Didn't we, Jono?
Canada.
Yeah, we got an email.
Yeah. Would you like me to read it out?
Yes, thanks.
No. Hang on, let me click on my bits.
Can I click on your bits?
Oh, yeah, that's me. This is from Stephen Garrity, who Ack is a big fan of.
Right, it's Acts of Volition.
Right. And he says in his email to show@lugradio.org.
That's
show at
lugradio.org.
Org.
We haven't all pimped the email address a lot this week.
Yeah. We want to get emailed. Email is
we change the email addresses to piss people off.
bounce emails back to them.
He says, hi guys, I'm just starting listening to Lug Radio number 8, and I hear you talking about the political parties taking open source software. I thought you'd be interested to hear that as part of their platform... for our Canadian federal election on June the 28th, they're advocating open source software for government. It's very good.
That's the Canadian Green Party, by the way.
I think we ought to have probably picked someone who could read to read it out.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of screwed that up a bit. It's been a long day.
So we cut off his index finger, he'd have really serious problems.
I'm not reading out the Earl. It's listed in there and it's quite long.
Yeah, just go to acts of volition.com and you'll probably find it in his archives.
Slash archives.
slash 2004, slash April, slash the Green Party.
Yeah. Slash get involved.
So thanks, Stephen.
Slash rimming Peter Oliver.
But yes, thank
you
for that,
Stephen.
All right, Pete.
What other things?
Episode 10, Pete.
it'll never happen 10 times.
What other things have we got to tie up at the end of this Lug Radio 10?
I'd just like to say, actually, on that point, I'm quite proud of the fact that we've got to episode 10. We should see this as some form of anniversary.
Yeah, we didn't even realise it was going to be 10.
And that's it. So
18 weeks we've been doing this. No, that's out of count.
French post error.
and now it's doubly screwed up by the fact that we stuck out a bloody special edition in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair.
I think it's 16 weeks.
I'd like to thank all of my fellow co-presenters here for making it a very enjoyable experience
so far.
Yeah,
it's been
lovely. It's been very good. Can we have a group hug now?
Well,
the microphones are in the middle.
I'm not the mics.
And that's the reason we're not doing it, obviously.
Yeah. So let's keep it fresh and keep it real, guys.
We're still on about hugging.
Yeah.
All right.
So on the wrap up, I understand you've been playing with something this week, Johnny.
I have.
And now it's finally working.
It is working, and when I insert things, they just work like with no effort.
Like floppies.
Yeah, floppies, and hard as well.
Wasn't there some love involved?
All right, let's stop this senselessness.
Tenuous.
Yes, I've been playing with Project Utopia, of which Ack got me onto because of his incessant pimping. and credit where credit's due, the man's right. It does work. And it's brilliant. I mean, basically, I got my camera, I plugged it into my USB port, and it just automatically mounts the camera, and it can copy the photos over. It's brilliant.
Cool.
Something that they are wanting, incidentally, is there's these special XML files called device information files, and they're there to specify some unique bits about each device. And the developers of HAL are wanting more of these files. So if you've got hardware and you know a bit about XML, check out HAL and contribute some files because it'll really help the project.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's brilliant and everyone should check it out. And it's just about to go into, they're just talking about getting it ready for GNOME 2.8 and integrating it with GNOME. So.
Yeah. Which will be out in about 5.5 months because GNOME do time-based releases.
6 months, yeah.
They release really?
Yeah, GNOME released every 6 months. They don't wait till it's ready. They just release every 6 months.
Because they were like saying that it's going to be a bit tight to do it, but yeah. I think they're looking at getting it.
Yeah, so GNOME 2.6 come out when?
Like a new dev fit.
Yeah,
2.6 come out. Came out about 4-6 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, so GNOME 2.8, or GNOME 2.8.
It's end of October, normally. 2.4 was end of October.
Yeah, so end of October, GNOME 2.8, hopefully Project Utopia will be part of it.
See, I think
but you can grab all the bits now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's really going to make Linux a viable consumer desktop.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fact that one of the biggest gripes I think that people have, and certainly when we did the info point, we had a number of people coming over saying, I plug my devices and they don't work. And that's a big issue. You can't get on a desktop unless this is going to happen. So it's great the fact that this does actually work. I mean, obviously, you need the device drivers.
Yeah,
but largely distros sort that out for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing normally comes with your distribution. But if you say to people, oh, you plug it in and then you have to drop to a command shell and then sue to root and then type mount this, that, the other, they're going to go, well, fuck off and go back to Windows XP. So.
And what was cool today, something I noticed while I was waiting for you guys to arrive, was Joe Shaw, who's one of the Novell hackers, was he posted to his blog and said that he's just halified cups. So the printing is going to all be pretty much ready for HAL as well.
Yeah, so I'll be happy.
Plug in a printer, it just works.
And that will be brilliant. That'd as it should cool. do. Yeah. So
that's fantastic.
So well done, Joe.
What? Go on.
No, I was just going to move on to info points. So
I had one very quick question just before we get that far.
Mm.
I don't know, possibly you'll also, I don't know, but HAL is distribution agnostic, UDEV is distribution agnostic, but things like GNOME Volume Manager are not. GNOME Volume Manager works in GNOME, that's why it's called GNOME Volume Manager. Are the KDE guys getting involved with any of this?
I saw one guy who was talking about it, but I think he was just commenting on the fact that he might work on it. From what I've seen, nothing's happening with KDE.
Yeah.
I'd love for someone to prove me wrong, but I've not seen anything.
I'm not, levelling any accusations or anything. I'm just curious. Okay, right.
There's also no free BSD port of HAL yet. which is going to cause problems if he wants to get into Debian, as far as I'm aware. Because a lot of it's relatively Linux-specific.
Because you need SysFS and things like that, which is why you need a 2.6 Linux kernel to make it work, blah, blah, blah.
And there's portability issues. But yeah, it's on the works, so.
It's all very exciting. So, yeah, sorry, you want to talk about Interpoint?
Yeah, I wanted to... there's nothing to do with me, it's the release, to be honest, but I wanted them to big up their info points and to mention that there's new companies on board.
There is. There's British Computer Markets have signed up. So the entire south of the UK has now got info points available. And all over the place.
All we need to do now is conquer the very middle of the UK. And then the north being Scotland. And then...
Yeah.
Then...
Yeah, so I should have really specified England. That was a bit generic. I apologise.
Do you want to rehash what the info point thing is for people who haven't listened before?
Yeah, very briefly.
Yeah, well, do you want to, Matt?
Yeah, basically the idea is you go to a computer fair, you have a stall, you tell people about Linux, why it's good, why they should use it, and it's just basically just about the most practical advocacy project that we know of in the UK.
Yep.
Sorry to pimp it up massively, but you know, I think it's really worth doing. People
justified.
Are really making differences here. We did one a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? And it was fantastic. Seriously, we went along, and people came along and says, "Oh yes, I've been using it," or
"Oh no, I don't use it. I like it."
And one girl saying, "Hey, what's in it for you guys?" you know, basically, there isn't anything for us guys except for the fact that I'm not a coder. I don't know how to give anything back in terms of code. So I want to do something, to give something back. Go on to jonobacon.org/infopoint.
You bastard.
And find out more. Seriously. Or ask us on the forums more about it. It's really worth doing.
Yeah. Any one of you can write, if there's a computer fair near you, you can run an info point at it.
Yeah.
Gives you a fuzzy, warm feeling.
And please don't forget the underlying message. Joe, no bacon. Please send him some more bacon. More bacon to Joe.
You're all bastards.
The underlying message also is don't be an arsehole while you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't be an arsehole, otherwise Mr. O'Bacon will come round your house and beat your head in.
more news, which we forgot to mention earlier, is the... Would you want to talk a little bit about what you were talking about earlier?
You don't know what it is now.
Like Radio Live.
Oh, yeah, the politics.
Big movements on this, guys.
Yeah, it's looking like we're going to be able to do... we've been talking about doing a Lug Radio Live, and we've been talking about doing a like a one-day event that talks about the use of free and open-source software in government and the rights associated along with free and open-source software. So things such as software patents, all this kind of stuff that we all, you know, really give a shit about. And... Open Advantage from Birmingham have said that they're interested in helping us out with this. Hopefully, if everything works out well, they're going to help us financially. Nothing's confirmed or set in stone at the moment, but fingers crossed.
They're going to be embarrassed after hearing this now.
Yeah, so if it doesn't work out, never mind. No, but I mean, the whole idea is open up some form of debate and getting
some important
people down.
Some of our political representatives and get them to, A, tell us what they're doing, and B, ask them why they aren't doing more.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And fingers crossed if it's going to be...
And it won't just be politics. We'll get some other people involved as well, you know, business people, open source developers, stuff like that. And it should be a really good day, and then afterwards we'll go and get drunk.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's a really
Come on, hackers,
compelling.
Free the software. Absolutely. Yes.
That's it. So, so that's going to be cool.
Join us now.
Join us.
Join us now.
Right, so
that's pretty much it for episode 10. Was there anything else anyone else wanted to mention?
No, I don't think so.
Poo.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget our forums at forums.lugradio.org. Soon we'll be setting up a mailing list as well, so that you can just join the mailing list, so that we can send out an email to say, oh, there's been a new episode released.
Yeah.
And things like that. Thanks to all of our mirrors. Thanks to Trig for hosting the forums.
Yep.
Thanks to me for hosting the main website.
Yeah.
And
thanks to me for preparing to move over to the new website. Thanks for Ack for paying some money. Eventually.
Thanks
for the new website. Yeah. Thanks to Sparks for the...
For coding the original website.
Yeah. And thanks to Sparks also for setting up a four-player gauntlet machine.
Thanks to all our listeners.
Yeah, thanks to all our listeners, especially when they mail Sparks to tell him about a four-player gauntlet machine, or they mail us to tell us what they do with their £100,000.
And also thanks to everyone at the linuxlink.net. Ports 8000, where you can listen to the live stream, right, which has got us, Slug Radio, the Linux Link Tech Show on. Thanks to the guys over there.
The Linux Link.
Basically, yeah, give a listen to them.
Cheers, guys.
And please post our forums, and please email us, show@lugradio.org.
What was that email address? I've forgotten.
show@lugradio.org.
And the forums are where?
forums.lugradio.org.
And webeditorblog.com, yeah, if you want to read some random web editor related blogging.
I never ever write anything about being a web editor.
It's really interesting though, your blog. But anyway, see you later, folks.
Bye.
Bye.